I guess so. You know, the Adventure Cycling Association has been around for 35 years, and our mission is to inspire people of all ages to travel by bicycle. So bike travel is our niche. And on the other hand, we do.
Well, he does so much. You'll find out in the next 30 minutes. That's my guest, Jim Sayer. And you're listening to CDM Cyclist, and I'm your host, Frank Peters. Welcome. And a special welcome if you're clicking over from Corona Del Mar today. Welcome to the show. Well, Jim, I was in Portland, Oregon last week. Portland, of course, a platinum-level city, is rated by the League of American Bicyclists. And it was just coincidence that Jim and I had arranged a time to have this conversation. Well, you'll hear me mention it during the show. I've got my own travel adventure plans coming up for the summer. I guess that gives me an affinity for what Jim and his organization called Adventure Cycling is all about. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But first, let me say thank you to my sponsor from Portland, BikeTiresDirect.com. Of course, bike tires, but so much more. Gear, apparel, everything. When I was up in Portland last week, Bike Tires Direct went in, got a new helmet, some outfits for mom, and a little tire repair kit, too. Can never have enough of those, huh? Well, check them out, please. BikeTiresDirect.com. Well, I've got plans later this summer to do a 400-mile bike ride along the Erie Canal in Buffalo, New York. That's where it starts, ends in Albany, New York. I do a lot of week-long backpacking trips. Well, I do one every summer with the Boy Scouts. So this will be my first long-distance bike tour, but I have a feeling I'm going to like it. I like getting out there on the dusty trail. Hot or cold or windy or buggy, doesn't seem to bother me. Brings me a little peace of mind, I think. So anyway, I'm all excited about touring opportunities that the bicycle affords. Well, that's what Jim and his organization is all about. Let's listen.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Jim. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, yeah.
Well, okay.
I'm delighted to join you this morning. Thanks so much.
Sure. Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah.
And thanks for joining as a member.
Yes. Well, you're welcome, Jim. I've been a fan of your website for some time. As I anticipated, you know, this time we were going to spend together getting to know you better. I wanted to become part of the family.
Okay. Well, I appreciate also, I appreciated the nice blog post in the, from the Bike Summit too on bike travel. That was great.
Oh, well, let's go there for a second. We crossed paths. We didn't actually meet though in Washington, D.C. at the National Bike Summit. You ran, for me, that was the last, you know, panel discussion of the conference, and I was thrilled to sit in on it. It was all about bicycling vacations.
That's right. Bike travel and tourism.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's your niche, isn't it?
I guess so. You know, the Adventure Cycling Association has been around for 35 years, and our mission is to inspire people of all ages to travel by bicycle. So bike travel is our niche. And on the other hand, we do overlap with all the other major bike organizations, the active travel organizations like Rails of Trails Conservancy. And so we very much have ties to the whole biking travel community.
You had a great panel that day, too. You had some, the folks from, is it Cycle Oregon there? And
that's right. Yeah, we had somebody from Wisconsin, Oregon, South Dakota. We had somebody who had just left the American Bus Association, which represents all the coach carriers in America. And that's quite an organization. In fact, she never hesitated to remind me that, you know, I think in 2 weeks, they carry what Amtrak carries in a whole year. And they were trying to remind people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, too. And they're trying to make the point that they are big players and they're interested in working with bicyclists. In fact, creating more opportune ways for bicyclists to put their bikes into the cargo bays or somehow make it more convenient for bikes and buses to work together.
Because it's good business for them, obviously, huh?
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, if you go to Europe, and many people cite this who've been there, is the intermodal nature. So everything links seamlessly in some of the countries in Europe where you can just get a bike in town, then you can move to the train, you can move to the bus or airline. But one way or another, it's not a big hassle to make the switch. And in this country, in the U.S., it's completely the opposite. You know, there are a few cities that have made the leap and are doing better, but by and large, it's really hard and it's expensive to make the switch between modes.
Mm-hmm. Well, several thoughts come to mind. I'm in Portland today, Jim. I just picked up my Brompton fold-up bike I'm going to fly home with it, but around the 4th of July, me and the rest of the family, I hope to take it on the Amtrak train that's only 12 miles from my house and, you know, do a combination of rails and cycling. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And well, that kind of fits in with your whole thing, isn't it, Jim? Getting people.
It does.
Out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we try to get people to understand that bike travel is all kinds of things. When we started in '76 as a group called Bike Centennial, we were known for creating a Transamerica route going from Yorktown, Virginia, to Astoria, Oregon. And about 4,100 people did all or parts of that route to celebrate the bicentennial of the nation. And so we got tagged as the long distance epic ride group, which is awesome. I mean, it's one of the most fulfilling things that anybody can ever do, which is to pedal across the entire United States or to pedal across some big landmass under your own power and enjoy all the serendipity that comes with it. But over the last few years, and especially in the last 2 years, we've been trying to make sure that people understand that bike travel can be anything where you're going on a bike and traveling overnight. So we have a brand new website called bikeovernights.org. And the whole idea is to celebrate one or two night trips, you know, from your front door, or as you said, you know, catch the train, go out to the edge of the city, catch the trolley, go out to the edge of town, and go for a bike ride to a B&B or maybe to a campground. But whatever you do, just get away and escape on your bike.
It is. It's great adventure. Now, I remember you were talking about this in Washington, so I got all excited. Well, this was after Christmas, though. Well, I got to tell you, my Christmas, I guilt-tripped my two boys. They're both teenagers, big, strong kids. I said, what Dad really wants for Christmas is an overnight trip to Long Beach, which is 25 miles away. And so my wife drove the car and brought the dog in the car, but me and the boys packed up our stuff, threw it on our bikes, and it was a great little family adventure, and it was different.
Absolutely.
We'll remember that for forever.
I think so, and I have to say that, you know, it's one of the best things you can do, and if you go to that website, you will see a number of blog posts from people about their own special bike overnights. And one of my favorites is a friend of mine, Jeff Olson, who's a really well-regarded bike and walk and urban planner, lives in Saratoga Springs, New York. And we actually talked about this at the Bike Summit. I had asked him to write this blog post, and he said, my favorite one was riding on the Erie Canal Trail with my daughter. I think she was on a trailer bike. They did 3 days, 2 nights, and 12 miles because it was raining. It was raining so hard that it wasn't great conditions. But he said they had to stop constantly. One time, he looked down at his daughter after he came out of a building, and she was doing a facsimile of the Erie Canal in mud and water. So, anyways, again, you know, it's just the point is just to get away and enjoy yourself, but. You can do the more ambitious things, and it's great that you mentioned your sons, because I have three daughters, a little younger, and last summer, my 13-year-old daughter and my twins, both 11, and my wife and I decided to do the whole Pacific Coast self-contained, so we carried our own gear. And so we started in Bellingham, Washington. We rode north to the border to the Peace Park, at the border with Canada, and then we rode south all the way to Borderfield State Park, right at Tijuana and near Imperial Beach. And we took 9 weeks and averaged about 45 miles a day, but amazing trip. And talk about a bonding experience. My daughters, you know, did it under their own power and saw lots of friends and family on the way, and I don't think they'll ever forget it.
Wow. Now, Jim, you shared a picture with me of that, and I posted it on the blog. I'll put a link to it in the show notes for my listeners.
Sure. Okay, and, thanks.
Just to see your lovely daughters out there, they're tanned, they look, you just get the sense that they're competent and confident out there on the road.
They are, and they got to meet all sorts of great people. They met we have a lot of family and friends on the coast, so we were able to stay with them. We stayed at a lot of cool biker hiker sites. This is one of the things that you're seeing across the country is more states, cities are creating bicycles only campgrounds that are easy to get into. You're pretty much guaranteed a spot. You don't have to worry about making advance reservations. They're relatively inexpensive. So we took advantage of those along the coast, especially in California and Oregon. And then we got to meet a lot of friends and advocates. And I think the picture that you posted was of Mark Bixby, who you did a wonderful feature about, and Andrea White, who heads up Bike Station in Long Beach. And so she had a barbecue for our family in Long Beach at her lovely home, and we were able to just enjoy a couple hours with a lot of different folks who are working for better biking in Long Beach and the surrounding area.
Well, that picture is a little treasure, and I appreciated you sharing it with me, especially at that time of Mark's passing.
Yeah. What I love about biking, too, and you've captured it so well on your blog, is the economic benefits. And I know it's a cliche because everybody in this terrible time of recession, I guess we're out of the recession, but it doesn't feel like it yet.
Doesn't feel like it, you're right, yeah.
I know, and people are talking about a double dip and all that, but it's just a soft economy no matter how you look at it. But you know, the bike can be a fantastic stimulant for economic development. And with bike travel, we've seen that. In fact, one of the most interesting statistics I've discovered is that the bike industry is fantastic. It generates about $6.5 billion a year in the American bike industry. But when you go to the travel industry, the adventure travel industry alone is $89 billion. Then we started looking at state-by-state analyses of economic impact of bike travel. And we found, for example, in Wisconsin, the land of cheeseheads and ice fishing, deer hunting, that ice fishing and deer hunting don't hold a candle to bike travel. They generate almost $1 billion a year in bike tourism-related expenditures in Wisconsin. And this blew everybody away. They couldn't believe that those funny people in spandex or on cruiser bikes were generating more than these other more traditional sounding, pursuits in Wisconsin. So,
at the same time, Jim, it's a little bit economical, isn't it? I mean, my Amtrak train tickets were kind of expensive, I thought, you know, for my upcoming trip. But after that, I've already got the bikes, and I'm adding some panniers, you know, the bags over the rear wheels. And then it's just a question of, you know, am I going to sleep on the ground? Am I going to pack a tent and a sleeping bag or credit card my way, you know, from hotel to hotel?
There are so many options. I mean, if you one of the great things about our website is it offers something for everybody. So we have that bike overnight site. We also have some pages on ultralight travel. There's been a boon in the backpacking industry for creating super light gear.
Yes.
So you don't have to carry a lot of weight. And then there's also more and more of this evolution of the hospitality industry, whether it's the campgrounds I mentioned. And in some cases, those are private campgrounds too, because they're seeing the benefit, especially in small communities along rural routes, to attract bicyclists. We're seeing this across the board. Everybody's trying to entice bicyclists to come. And it can either be for bike travel or, as you noted on your blog I just saw, it could be just using sharrows or narrowing streets and slowing down traffic, so that people are more inclined to bike along those routes, or even the drivers, once they go slower, are more inclined to stop at a pizza place or at some kind of shop to, you know, just buy something. And so if you get people to slow down and pay attention, they might be more inclined to go to that merchant along the route. So we see that with bikes all the time, and I think it can benefit the entire community and economy, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I keep thinking of economic development as a key, let's say, argument to make. You know, as I espouse advocacy in my local community, it's not just a bunch of recreational enthusiasts. There's a solid business component to the whole.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm what I call a bike omnivore. And I wish everybody could do that. The bike's at the center, and then you can use it to go shopping or just go to work or have fun or go on vacation. And, you know, it's so interesting because there's been a big debate now with gas prices hitting $4. It certainly is having an impact on the travel industry. We just had a story run in the New York Times travel section on ways to cut or eliminate your gas costs on your vacation. They included adventure cycling. So that was nice to see. They also featured a number of stories a couple years ago about many people that use the bike to avoid, you know, all those extra costs. And then you also see a lot more coming out about commuting. And it's amazing. Somebody actually did the calculus on this, and they said, okay, how much work do you have to do to pay for that car and all its operating costs? And they figured out the average American worker, 2 hours of their work each day is devoted to just paying for their car and all the operating costs. So then somebody took the same calculus and they went back to the bike and they found it was about 3 minutes. So you can feel good that pretty much about the time it takes you to sit down at your desk is about the amount of time.
Well, that makes sense too. Yeah. Oh, I know it.
Yeah. So it's good across the board, you know, from commuting all the way to the epic trips. And it's just so much fun to see people rediscover the bikes, especially adults, because many of them, when they turn 16 or 18, kind of lost interest. And now they're beginning to realize what a great economic and emotional bargain the bicycle is.
Yeah, it really is. Let's go back to an issue. I'll bet it's an objection that you get from some, Jim, is these long-distance trips. Well, how about taking your three daughters? There must have been some people in your circle of friends that would worry about, is it safe enough out there? What do you say to people who raise that issue?
Well, generally, it's safe. I never, ever, ever, ever disguise the risks of going out on an open road, and especially in America where the culture is more car-oriented and there aren't always facilities for safe cycling. There's just no doubt about it. And we've also had additional problems in recent years with stimulus money flowing from Washington states or rural areas where they've been putting in more rumble strips, those really bumpy, you know, side lines along your roads that have made certain what were wonderful roads for bicycling less passable, less safe. So with that caveat, I do tell people, look at the facts. You know, very few people, especially on the open road, are hit or, God forbid, killed. And generally, it's a very safe way to go. And then if you start factoring in all the other health issues, the health benefits of bicycling, if, you know, getting out there on your bike far exceeds going in a car or going some other way, you're going to benefit. Generally, what we found, too, is, and this has been borne out by research, is if you go on routes where bicyclists tend to congregate and they tend to use those routes, it's going to be a safe experience. So even though we went on our Pacific Coast ride down PCH, you know, Pacific Coast Highway, which I'm sure is well known to your listeners, and even through some of the parts of L.A. that were really difficult to get through, we hardly ever had any trucks or cars brush up against us. They generally gave us a wide berth, generally very friendly and cooperative. Then also, there were five of us, so we made a little critical mass, I guess you could say, and we were much more obvious. And the other thing about bikes, as you probably know, is just the community that forms. So when we did decide to ride down from Malibu to Long Beach and then to Seal Beach where my mom lives, but we went to Andrea's house for that barbecue, we ran into a couple guys that were riding from Venice Beach to Long Beach, and so they hooked up with us too. So we had seven of us riding on pretty busy urban streets, but again, we were so obvious and we were, you know, really smart and we stayed out of the door zone, and my kids were already more or less trained in doing that from riding around Missoula, Montana, where we live. that it all worked out fine. So even in the busiest, most urban sections, no problem. And generally, riding almost 1,900 miles, we had very, very few incidents where people brushed up close. So I think that's generally the case. You know, if you are a confident rider and you learn the rules of the road, you should be fine.
Well, two thoughts I'm hearing, Jim, is there's safety in numbers. That's definitely, I feel that too when I'm with a group. You're going to be more better noticed, more visible to the motorists. And,
sure.
And then get trained, get educated. I took the league's Traffic Skills 101 pretty recently as I started cycling again. And it really boosted my confidence because, you know, they taught me how to ride correctly.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great course. That's a great course. Yeah. And that's a great advice for anybody who does have any uncertainty. And then there are many state and local groups that do the same thing and provide guidance. And then if you're interested in bike travel, at Adventure Cycling, we offer tours. So you could go on a preset tour, both self-contained where you carry your own gear, or a supported ride where your gear is carried for you. There's a caterer. It's pretty much just ride and enjoy, and then we take care of the rest. But also, we offer educational courses. So we have several classes around the country on introduction to road touring, and sometimes we've done also dirt touring, so people who want to take a mountain bike out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also offer a leadership training course. In fact, we're going to start one up in a few days, and that's designed over 4 days to enable you to learn how to lead tours. And you don't have to lead a tour, but half of it's devoted to personal development and leadership skills, and then half of it's devoted to the logistics, nuts and bolts of running a bike tour. So both good courses, and those are open to anybody.
I would enjoy a course like that.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's a great course, and in fact, we've even been talking with people about trying to create a more specialized leadership course for young people, maybe for business people, because I do know business people love to get out there and learn, go to leadership seminars, and so we figured, why not combine a leadership seminar with some biking, you know? What could be better than that? So, I just think that there are so many ways that we can reach out to different communities. And the leadership courses, the training courses, and the instructional course that you mentioned for the League of American Bicyclists are all great ways to get into biking and meet colleagues, meet people you could ride with.
Mm-hmm. What's your bread and butter component of your business, Jim? Is it these guided tours?
Well, let me just say, first of all, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, so we have members, and we're actually quite a broad portfolio. We get support from our members. That's a very big component. We get support from people who do our tours. We also are the number one authority on bike routes across and all over North America. We've mapped out about 41,000 miles of bike routes on dirt and on pavement from Canada down to the Mexican border. And we've mapped out the longest mountain bike route in the world, the Great Divide mountain bike route. So people can buy those maps online at adventurecycling.org. Some of them are downloadable. You can even get the GPS waypoints for free for the routes if you'd like. So it's the biggest mapped bike-friendly route network anywhere in the world. And so we welcome people to check that out. And so we generate revenue from selling the maps. We get donations from our members, and we get a few grants because we do quite a bit of advocacy work, too. So quite a few things. And then finally, what we're really well known for, especially amongst our members, is our magazine. We publish 9 times a year a magazine called Adventure Cyclist, and people love it because it's so salt of the earth, down home, all about bicycling and the travel experience. And our stories span the globe. All kinds of experiences from the truly epic to, you know, again, bike overnights. It's a fantastic magazine. And so we have some advertisers in that, and that generates a little revenue. But primarily the membership and tours and sales would be the big ones, along with some donations from our members.
So I'll be getting that magazine next issue, I'm sure, because I just became a member of Adventure Cycling.
Yeah, and we thank you very much. I saw you got a 2-year membership too, which is great. You get a little bit of a discount that way. But it's great. And so all these resources are available. And then there are a lot of resources available for free. As I mentioned, our website And I have to say, I'm biased, of course, but we have one of the best blogs around. We put up about 10 to 12 fresh posts a week. And the great thing about bike travel is that sometimes the stories are about gear. And I know there are a lot of gearheads out there who just fetishize, you know, clusters and chains, handlebars, and what's the angle on that top tube and all that stuff. So we have stuff like that. But we also then get into the personal experiences. We have some of the best riders who look at just the as I said, the serendipity or the little miracles that happen when you're traveling by bike, because you're so open to the world in a way that you're not in just about any other way except for walking. And of course, the beauty with bikes is you can usually go farther than you can walk in a day. So anyway, that's all available for free at adventurecycling.org. We just encourage people to take a look at that. And then one other thing I wanted to mention, Frank, was just some of the advocacy work, which I know you've covered with many of your guests. And one area is creating an official U.S. bike route system. Many countries are doing this to spur economic development and bike ridership, but Adventure Cycling is working with many state departments of transportation to create an official U.S. bike route system all over the country, signed, mapped routes that will enable bicyclists to find the best way to go across a state, across the country, or connect between cities.
Wow, that sounds great. So the states have an advantage. They could direct cyclists through some of their favorite little towns, and then your idea is to connect one state to the other?
Exactly. I mean, these will be interurban, interstate routes all over the nation, and just like the interstate highway system, but in this case for bikes. We want to model ours after what you see, for example, in Great Britain, because it's not just about rural communities. It's to link urban, suburban, and rural areas. So ultimately, you know, you could go into the middle of, you know, Newport Beach or Corona del Mar and hopefully see a sign for the U.S. bike route system. And you could follow that U.S. bike route, you know, just 5 miles up the road to the next city. Or you could follow it 3,000 miles across the country to New York City. The whole idea is you can use it like a bike omnivore for a short haul trip or a long haul trip. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what could be better than, you know, to have your kids or, you know, if your boys were 7 years old to see that sign and ask their dad, "Dad, what do you mean we could ride 3,200 miles to New York City?" But just to get those thought processes going is so important, I think, to get people to realize and that bikes are a great form of transportation and anything is possible.
Wow. So you really tap into people's wanderlust, Jim, huh?
Exactly. And it's a great thing. And you know what's exciting is that cyclists get excited about it, but we're seeing states get excited about it. In fact, we just finished National Bike Month in May, and what we discovered is that the umbrella group that represents all those state departments of transportation, it's a group called ASHTO, they're in charge of designating routes all over the U.S. and numbering them, too. And they approved the first new U.S. bike routes in about three decades at the start of May.
Wow.
They approved six different routes. And they're not in the states that you'd normally expect. I know you're in Oregon right now, and you'd expect, wouldn't Oregon be in the vanguard? And Oregon is working on U.S. bike routes. Routes were approved in Alaska, Maine, New Hampshire, Michigan, and Virginia. So not the usual states you hear about when we're talking about biking.
Oh, well, I love those New England states. I grew up in Massachusetts and New Hampshire, married a girl from Maine, so I fantasize about going a bicycle back at home, too.
Good. Well, there's great riding everywhere. That's the other thing. So we're hopeful that we'll get all 50 states and D.C. all linked together with an official U.S. bike route system.
Wow, Jim. You're doing so many great things. It's a pleasure to get to know you better, Jim, and I wish you good luck with your website and all your endeavors.
Well, thanks. And thanks for doing this at the local level, too, because we need it. Politically, it's a really treacherous time for bicycling and walking and for active transportation.
It does seem, you know, that way, doesn't it? Yeah, it's a treacherous time.
Yeah, and it's, you know, budgetarily tight times, but, you know, people are pulling together to make that case for bicycling economically and in every other way. So it's really important to have this kind of communication going on and getting people involved.
And maybe as we wrap up, Jim, got a big trip planned for this summer?
Well, I'm letting my family off the hook. They're not going to do any big trips, but we might do some short trips around Missoula. I do have an aspiration to do part of one of our most famous routes. It's a Lewis and Clark route that goes from St. Louis to Astoria, Oregon. And I may end up taking it from Missoula to Astoria and then do something like you're doing. I'll come back to Portland, and then I'll catch the train up to Seattle and then over to Glacier National Park. It's a wonderful train ride. And then ride from Glacier back down to Missoula. It's about 150 miles away, I think.
And you turn all this into a business, Jim, or a 501c3. That's great. That's fantastic. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Thanks. It is. It's a great group. And also, last thing I'll say is I strongly encourage you, if you ever have the chance to ride to Missoula, Montana, we're headquartered here right in downtown Missoula in an old church that we now own. And if you come here, we've trained our staff to ooh and ah if you ride in the door, no matter how, you know, sweaty and decrepit you look when you come in the door. But we treat all of our visiting cyclists like gods and goddesses. Free ice cream, free soda, and you get your picture taken and put up on our wall of fame right at the entryway. And so you can see all the other people who've ridden into Missoula too. But, and if you drive here, that's great too. We welcome all visitors, but it's a wonderful place to visit. And it's almost like a little mecca of bike travel with lots of great bikes and information about bike travel and some of the great ones that have ridden all over the world on bikes.
I get a kick out of that. On your website, you track how many people per year come to visit you in person.
Exactly. We had a record last year, 1,100. And on our Flickr page, you can see our visitors, and you will see, and it's really encouraging, all the kinds of people that come here, old and young, from all over the planet. And most of them have a big, happy grin on their face because they're having such a good time. So we encourage you to come visit us in Missoula, Montana.
That's going to be very gratifying for you, Jim, huh? That the work that you do and people come to visit you in person.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, somebody asked me what I like about my job, and I said that obviously I get to mesh my personal passion with my workaday life. But we help make changes from the very simple level to the, you know, absolutely grandiose national level. So whether it's creating a big U.S. bike route system, which will probably be the biggest official system in the world, all the way down to that one individual that didn't have the confidence, but then they got our maps and they may have thrown a couple of panniers on their bikes and they took off, and all of a sudden they realized they could go anywhere. You know, we see small changes and we see big changes, and we help make that happen. So it's a good feeling.
Jim, let's plug the websites again. You've got the overnight site.
Right. The main site for adventure cycling is adventurecycling.org. If you're interested in the U.S. bike route system, it's the same URL, but with a / USBRS. We're on Facebook, and we have over 31,000 friends now on our Facebook and U.S. bike route system pages. And then we also have electronic forums. If you have questions, we have lots of experts on standby that will answer your questions. And you can see that through the website. And then finally, this separate website, bikeovernights.org. It's a great site, and it's just going to really go live later in June. And but right now, there are a lot of good stories on there about people's experiences doing quick bike trips. So take a look.
Oh, Jim. Well, thanks so much for joining me on the show today, Jim. This has been fun. I've enjoyed it. I can't wait to get out on my own vacation with the bike.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah, have a great, great trip, and look forward to talking more.
Alrighty. Bye-bye, Jim.
Bye.
Well, we're back in the studio, and just as we're about to wrap up here, let's say thank you to BikeTiresDirect.com, huh? I appreciate their support. Of course, when I was in Portland last week, met with some of my bicycle buddies up there, and I got myself a new bike. I'll talk more about that next time on the show. Next time, I'll bring you an interview with Mia Burke. Mia was a bicycle coordinator for the city of Portland in the 90s, that magical time when everything seemed to come together. She has a new book called Joyride, And she's got great war stories about resistance to change, the challenges she faced. I found her book quite inspiring as a budding bicycle advocate myself. Well, that's next time on the show. CDMcyclist.com is the website. Come on by, read some of the posts. There have been a lot of exciting developments lately locally. Leave a comment behind. I'd love to hear from you. Well, thanks so much for listening, and good night.